Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, chapter 10, the great book of Joshua. Joshua in the Hebrew tongue, Yeshua, properly pronounced, and meaning Yahweh's Savior. So we have a type here. Take it to Greek, we've got Jesus. Okay. Same word. And we have here, naturally, the type of the Savior entering the promised land. We've already had that type of judgment day by God himself judging old Achan, the troublemaker. Achan meaning trouble in the Hebrew tongue. And so we see these types of exactly how it's going to go down as we enter the promised land. That is to say, the first day of the millennium. So we come to chapter 10. Joshua has made really a kind of a bad mistake. He listened to some liars about who they were and where they were from, and he made an agreement with them, took them into his midst, and here he is today, stuck with what we call Nethinim, that is to say, given to service in the Hebrew tongue, taking care and chopping wood even for the altar of God. And it's going to cause problems today. Chapter 10, verse 1, and we see a type of the Savior, if you would. Watch closely. Chapter 10, verse 1, that word of wisdom from our Father, it reads, "Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek," or Zedek, king of Jerusalem, "had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them." They joined up with them. Now, everybody kind of hates a traitor, and they consider this a traitorous act. Gibeon was a part of these five, these peoples. And here now they've made a league with Israel itself. And I want you to know that God himself said, wait, I'm going to turn there and read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 2, you're not going to have it, but I want you to remember that God put this in motion long before Joshua took command, when Moses was still in charge, in Deuteronomy chapter 2. And we find it in verse 25, where God promises, he says, "This day, well, I began to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee." God began these people fearing and quaking long before. Well, he parted the Jordan. I mean, he caused the walls of Jericho just to fall into the soil. And the people fell into the hands of Joshua just like that. Why? Because God arranged it. It was God that fought the battle in actuality. Never leave our Father out of the equation of your life. You got trouble? Talk to him. Man can't do a whole lot to help you other than comfort you. But he can change things. He can change the mind even of your enemies, if it's his will. So Gibeon was about 5 miles from Jerusalem. Jerusalem was naturally not in, at this time. I want to say something about Adonai Zedek. It is the equivalent of Melchizedek. Melchizedek being king. Adonai is also king, or lord, I should say, of the just. Okay? So, verse 2. "And they feared greatly." Why? Because God put the fear into them. "Because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty." They had an alliance now with Israel. Verse 3. "Wherefore Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham," that's to say, whom God impales, "king of Hebron." Hebron is the correct pronunciation. We say Hebron today, alliance. "And of Paran," that's fleet, "king of Jarmuth," that means nigh, close to, And unto Japhiah, splendid king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, which is to say calf-like, saying, Debir, of course, meaning sanctuary. So we have a nest of them, a whole nest. This is what he said to them. Verse 4, come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Let's wipe them out. All of you come running. Verse 5, therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, that's the whole army, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. I mean, this is looking pretty scary for Gibeon. That's to say these Nethinim that had made this peace with Joshua. What does he do? Verse 6, here comes this type of Savior, if you would. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua, Yahweh's Savior, to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand, for thy servants come up to us quickly, and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. And here we have that save us now. And certainly Joshua, inasmuch as he's made peace, he's got a contract with them, he's impelled to do that follows. Verse 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And of course, what this kind of have done is lined the troops up for Joshua that God had told him to clean it out. Never, you know, a lot of people would say, well, wasn't God being a little ornery here? No, you don't know the people. If you start judging our Heavenly Father, you're asking for a heap of hurt in your life. Our Father knows exactly what He's doing. He's a heart knower. He can read minds. He knew why He wanted these people destroyed. Okay, for the benefit that salvation could come into being, that good could be planted in this earth, that people could have free will in choosing our Father. Let's continue. Next verse, please. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. And here he's consulting with God, and God is also consulting with him. This is important, that you never make a move of this size without God's blessings, at least ask for his blessings. Always, even in your life today, when you make decisions, ask God to come into the equation of your life and assist you, and request, if it be his will, because he knows what's best for you more than you do. Because why? Well, he knows what tomorrow brings. Verse 9, Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. I mean, they're marching, forced march at night to surprise the troops. Good military action. Verse 10, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel. Don't read over that. The Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, which is to say, it dug over, Beth Horon rather, and smote them to Azekah. This is dug over. It's where Goliath kind of put the army at toe at one time. And unto Makeda. And Makeda is the place of the shepherds. Okay. So we have all the parties involved here in this, and here we have them, these house of the shepherds and so forth. And it's important that you know God's in control. When you ask something in Christ's name, such as maybe cleansing someone, You don't have anything to do with it. Your faith gives allegiance to it, but God does it. Okay. Don't ever take credit for what God does. God made these people very uncomfortable. Why? That's why I read Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 25 to you. It started a long time ago that God put fear in their hearts about how His great army, and God has an army much larger than this that you can't even see in this dimension. And when He loves His children as He does, He'll use that army. Okay. That's how He discomfits them. They begin to hear noises. They begin to hear this. They begin to hear that. And our Father is not against even using hailstones to discomfort. Some of them weighing up around 180 pounds. That gets your attention, friend. Don't leave God out of the equation of your life. Verse 11, and it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon. This is the house of the caverns, okay? Beth House Horon Caverns. That the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, that's to say, dug over, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. God took care of business. Our Father is able. That's why, and hey, you might as well wake up to the fact, if you be a Christian, God's in charge. Okay. God controls Christian armies. And God is with Christian armies. And some would say, well, why does bad stuff happen? Usually when God is ready, there's the bad stuff happens more so to the enemy than it does to the freedom fighters. Okay. That's just the way it is. That's the way our Father operates. But the important thing is that you always ask our Father, talk to Him, let Him know you love Him. Because it was God Himself that gave them the victory here. He destroyed much more of the enemy than Joshua and the troops did by hand. Verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon, which is to say the place of the gazelles. And so it is that we are children of the day. We do our fighting in the light. Well, we can handle the moon, but we're still in the light, even if it's the darkest day, because Christ is our light. But God actually, in charge, in control, stopped the sun about 15 degrees that day, 13. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? Question. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. So there you have it. Our Father gives us the day. This is why, as it is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you don't have to worry about the season or the time, because you are a child of the day. All prophecies written towards Satan are given in moons, or that is to say, night. Okay. But we have that day, the day of the Lord, and God takes care of His own. And so when we talk about this book of Jasher, is it not written in the book of Jasher? Then a lot of people thought there must be a book of... What's the word Jasher mean in the Hebrew tongue? It's important that you know. The upright. Is it not written that we are children of light in the upright books which Moses wrote, the Pentateuch? This book of this book of Joshua being the first of the former prophets. Everything written before this was of the Pentateuch, the five books of law by Moses. Okay. So, it's written in the upright book. This whole book is upright. Okay. So don't go looking and be very careful looking for some book called Jasher. Okay. Upright, good enough. Verse 14. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. That's important that you take note of that. The Lord fights for his own children. You know, there is a reason that this great nation is the superpower of superpowers, because it is a Christian nation. It was founded as a Christian nation. That God blesses it. Why? He fights for it. And blesses it. I know there are some pretty bad things done in our nation anymore. But that's all right. You still have the prayers of the Christians, the Christ man. And if that makes someone else feel bad, just find you a place out in the woods somewhere, sit down and cry your little heart out. This is the truth. Okay. God loves Christ man, those that accepted Christ and those that hang with him, those that are blessed by him. And so it is. God fights for us. Christian armies always, always win. Verse 15. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. It was finished, done. 16. But these five kings fled. Brave boys, okay. The five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. Makkedah being the place of the shepherds. They crawled in there, all five of them, and there they be. Verse 17. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in the cave at Makkedah. And 18. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. Lock them in. Close them in. Lock it up. We'll take care of them when we're ready. 19. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies. Don't let that distract you. And smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into the cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. It's God's orders. Okay. You're going to see some repetition in the remainder of this chapter, be that as it may. It's for emphasis. Verse 20, and it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. Verse 21, and all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. This is interesting in that, how can you talk against the people that God blesses? He has put fear in the hearts of anyone that would stand in their way. And certainly when all are dead that give opposition, you would want to be real careful being opposition. Verse 22, then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. Bring them out here. 23, and they did so and brought forth these five kings unto him out of the cave. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. All five of them. What did they do? 24. And it came to pass when they brought out these kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, gather in here, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. This means victory. When you expose the neck, you know, a good military person knows how to snap that neck just that quick, and they're gone. Okay. When the neck is exposed, that's a sign of victory, complete. Okay, because being the place where you can dispatch someone very easily, okay, if you know what you're doing. Verse 25. And Joshua said unto them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight." In other words, God's going to expose their neck to you, if it be God's will. You want to always remember that. You remember what happened when Joshua sent the attack against Ai, the heap, in the beginning without consulting with God, and they got thumped big time. They got their gourd thumped in a way that and old Joshua hit the dirt and began crying and wailing, "Lord, you made us weak now." And so they didn't talk to God about it. And besides that, Achan had brought the accursed thing into the camp of Israel, a Babylonian priest robe, okay, playing false religion. Don't let false religion into your group if you want God's company. Okay, do it God's way. But here the enemy is exposed and the victory sign is present. 26, and afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on 5 trees. And they were hanged upon the trees until the evening. And of course, Deuteronomy 21:23, you cannot leave someone hanging on a tree overnight. Okay, so they took them down before the evening. Verse 27. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth which remain unto this very day. And there it is. They buried them there. Our Father gives us the victory. And again, some squeamish hearts that are ignorant as to what these people were doing and what they worshipped and what their actions were would condemn Almighty God. That's bad business. Don't judge God. He is the judge. He knows what He's doing. And your Heavenly Father will never do anything that is not justified. Verse 28. And that day Joshua took Makeda and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed them, and all the souls, that's nephesh, all the souls that were therein, he let none remain, and he did to the king of Makeda as he did unto the king of Jericho. Verse 29, then Joshua passed from Makeda, and all Israel with him unto Libna, and fought against Libna. This is to say whiteness. Verse 30, and the Lord delivered it also, and the king thereof, into the hand of Israel. And he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the nephesh, all the souls, notice what we're dealing with here, all the souls that were therein, he let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. Again, as I said, there's repetition. God's testing you out. Okay. God does it His way. Do you love the Lord? Verse 31. And Joshua passed from Libna and all Israel with him unto Lachish, and encamped against it and fought against it. 32. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel. Who did? The Lord did, which took it on the second day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein according to all that he had done to Libna. And on it goes. Verse 33. Then Horam, king of Gezer, dug out, okay, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him none remaining. We're cleaning house. Who's assisting in this? I don't want you to forget God, our Heavenly Father. And from Lachish, Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him. And they encamped against it and fought against it. 35. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword. And all the souls, Nephish, all the souls that were therein, he utterly destroyed that day according to all that he had done to Lachish. You're seeing here a type of Armageddon when that time comes before that entering the promised land. Okay, it's going to happen. What would this prove to a non-believer? And these were non-believers. That's why God wanted them destroyed. What was it God wanted them to know? Why did God not let Joshua kill all of them rather than God himself raining down great stones? The whole point being, God wants them to know, this bunch of atheists, there is a God. And he is real. And he's in charge. And they have to learn that lesson the hard way. There'll be good pickings in the millennium, 36. And I hasten to add, Jesus made a little trip down to those captives, as it is written in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, back even to this time. Next verse, 36. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him unto Hebron, and they fought against it. 37. And they took it, and smote it with the edge of the sword. And the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the Nephesh, the souls that were therein, he left none remaining according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. Verse 38, and Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Deborah, and fought against it. And here, this being the sanctuary, but it's not your sanctuary. And this is what you want to be sharp about. You want to watch false religion. You kind of can get an idea here. You know, I mean, these were powerful names. What the leader of Jerusalem was even Adonai. That's one of God's names, of Lord. Adonai Zedek, a beautiful name. False religion. 39. And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all these souls, nephesh, that were therein, and he left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Deborah, the sanctuary, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libnah and to her king. Cleaning house, doing God's work. Verse 40, so Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed. This breathed his soul, okay? The breath of life. Destroyer is one of Satan's names, and I want you to attach that, if you will. There is a day coming when you either love our Father or you're not going to be. All those that disbelieve, all those that have no faith, all those that go the other way, it's over for them. As the Lord God of Israel commanded, it is His order. It is Almighty God's order that those that do not love Him, that do not believe, and again, I want you to apply this to the end times, the entering of the promised land. When this comes to pass, as you are entering into the millennium age, there will be 1,000 years, which is one day with God, that these people will have, though they never had an opportunity to learn truth, will have an opportunity. I'm talking about the people today that call themselves atheists, that have never heard the truth, or those that listen to false religions and false teachings that are deceived by the spurious Messiah. They will have an opportunity to learn truth because they didn't have a chance to learn truth because they weren't taught. Our Father, though, will clean house. God is God, and He will make sure everyone knows He is Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. And you will either obey Him, love Him, or you won't be. Period. That's just how it is. Okay. Verse 41. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea. That's from the wandering in the wilderness where they waited one day too late, that whole generation, even into Gaza. You hear quite a bit about Gaza today, okay? The fortified, the strong place, Gaza. And all the country of Goshen. You hear a lot about Goshen. Even unto Gibeon. From the west, the south, and the north. You hear it all directions. Verse 42, and all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Did what? Fought for Israel. 43, to complete the chapter, and Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal, doing the Lord's business. Of course, some repetition here. But that repetition is for emphasis. And that emphasis is so that you would know who's in charge? Our Father is. Now, you can argue with Him. You can refuse Him. Or you can love Him and ask Him into your life and have a much higher calling. You can amount to something. You can be somebody. You can be a child of God. You might even plant a seed somewhere along the way that would pull a child from the fire of judgment in the end time, knowing our Father's in control. He's in total control. Whether people like it or not, doesn't matter. Everyone sails their own ship. Don't let yours go on the rocks. Keep it in the Word of God. So, again, a word of caution. Some would say, they destroyed them all because they deserved it. God gave the command, and He never gives a command that is not righteous. That means that it is right and it is just. And if you ever, ever say that God sends a burden on someone, you better read Jeremiah chapter 23. Because Jeremiah 23 says, if you believe God brings a burden on someone, He'll burden you all right. People bring burdens on themselves. If you accuse God of it, He will dump on you and you will rue the day. God doesn't bring burdens on people. God takes burdens away when you have faith to believe. So, no, our Father's in charge, and He knows who's right and who is wrong, and He judges accordingly. All right, hey, don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
Genesis.